Good evening, everybody. Welcome back to Hoops HD's continuing coverage of the 2016-17 college basketball season. Tonight, Under the Radar, being recorded here Wednesday evening, November 30th, around 10 p.m. Eastern Time. I'm your host, Chad Sherwood, joined off to my side over there by David Griggs and down there by John Salika. How are you, gentlemen and puppet?
Pretty well.
Yeah, pretty good. Another rough night tonight. Well, we're going to get through.
Well, let's start. We normally go through. We're normally doing these podcasts. We'll go through each of the Under the Radar conferences, which is the 22 conferences that is not a regular multi-bid league, which include the Power Five conferences, plus the Big East, the American, the A-10, the West Coast Conference. We are considering a multi-bid conference this year in all likelihood. The Mountain West, for some reason, we don't discuss on this show either.
Yeah, we might be discussing it.
We do go through all those, the other two 22 conferences in this show. We'll talk about what's been going on in these leagues, what teams are looking good, what teams may have a shot still getting an at-large bid even from these leagues. But before we even get to that, we have adopted for this year our team of the people as the New Hampshire Wildcats, going for their first ever NCAA tournament bid. And Salika down there with a New Hampshire swag, looking good all there, right. Don.
Yep, this came in just a couple weeks ago. I think it was prior to our Thanksgiving podcast.
And Here we go, coming up on the screen, we see the team of the people. David, tell us about that.
The team of the people, this is something we started a few years ago for those of you that have never really seen this before. We just basically wanted to adopt what we thought was a team that was in a unique situation and had an interesting storyline. We went with NJIT 2 years ago as the only independent, had a lot of fun with them, had a really successful season that year, making a postseason tournament for the first time ever at the Div 1 level, getting into the semis. Last year, Grand Canyon, a transitional team, not eligible for the NCAA or NIT, but still very competitive in their conference. We had a lot of fun with them. This year, we've picked New Hampshire, and the reason we picked them, we think they're interesting because they've never been to the NCAA tournament, and they haven't really had a whole lot of history of even being good in the America East, but we feel they are going to be very good this year, and again, we're trying to interact with them, have some fun, and although tonight was a rough night against Providence, they were trailed by as much as 23 or 25 in the second half, came back, got it down the single digits, finished strong. The way the rest of their schedule plays out, but we were looking at it before, it seems like there's a lot of winnable games on there. So I predict that the hardest part for the Wildcats is over. Smooth sailing, they should be competitive literally in every game between now and the end. But Chad, there's already been a success, a big success, hasn't there?
Yes. The Wildcats were one of, I believe it was a total of 8 teams that were part of the preseason NIT. And I know that people try to call it the NIT season tip-off, but it, for me, always has been and always will be the preseason NIT this season.
It is the preseason.
They did not participate in any bracketed part, but they did play 4 games, 4 round-robin games. They picked up wins over Winthrop. They also picked up a win over, was it Manhattan? Detroit, that they beat. They did lose a game at West Virginia. It was a semi-close game, if you count about 50 points to be close. But they won at Temple, finishing with a 3-1 record, including a road win at Temple.
Temple getting a big win tonight. Temple getting 2 wins against ranked teams in that tournament.
Right.
Temple winning the bracketed portion, but I'm sorry I interrupted you. This is not about Temple. It's about the team of the people, New Hampshire.
Right, because Temple and New Hampshire both finished 3-1 in this event, tied for first. Also, Florida State finished 3-1. But if you look at the records head-to-head among these teams, Florida State 0-1, Temple 1-1, New Hampshire 1-0.
Yes. I think we have to give them more credit for actually beating Manhattan than Detroit, though, because we may or may not get to this later. The Titans still have yet to beat a Division I team.
We'll worry about that later. Exactly, John. The point here is that, in my opinion, going 3-1 and beating the other teams that finished with the same record as you means you won this event.
Yeah, you did not win the
Wildcats. Are David? What are they?
Preseason NIT champions, and we're doing something we've been doing the team of the people and Under the Radar for a couple of years now. Tonight, we are doing something we've never done before. Let me get it up here. This is I'm having trouble. This is a little difficult when you don't have any arms, Chad.
This is something we have never done before. This is one of the biggest awards we've ever given out here on Hoops HD.
Yes. Here it is. As you see here, like Hoops HD declares the UNH Wildcats the preseason NIT champions of 2016. This banner is being made right now by who's making this?
Vistaprint, I believe.
Yeah, Vistaprint is making this banner right now. And it is, again.
We are not only getting this banner made up, but it is being shipped to the New Hampshire Athletic Department.
Right, Marty Serrano.
That's their athletic director right there on the screen. If you want to send him a letter to, you've got his contact information.
Yes, this banner, and it's pretty big. Like, it's they gave us an extra foot, Chad. It's a 4-foot banner. It's on its way to New Hampshire as we speak. This is our gift to you from Hoops HD, us declaring you the preseason NIT champions.
Yes, New Hampshire should be on the lookout for that. When you get it in, you can hang it up in the arena. So the entire world could see you are the 2016 preseason NIT champions. From us here at Hoops HD, very sincerely, congratulations.
Yes, there it is. So enjoy that banner. Have fun with it. Here you go.
What we want to do, though, is we do want to move on here. We've got a lot of other teams to go over here. New Hampshire is only one of about close to 300 different teams we're going to go over this show. What I'm going to do is pull up here on my screen any second now. There it is. We like to go through with all these conferences. We normally go through in alphabetical order, but we like to start with a conference of the week, kind of.
Yeah.
And despite New Hampshire's successes, our conference of the week this week is actually the conference of last year's team of the people, the Western Athletic Conference.
Right. And kind of a surprising start here. The WAC has been hovering around the 15-16 line pretty much ever since it took on this format. New Mexico State's been the dominant team, but they're getting some competition this year. Utah Valley out to a 3-1 start. Their record, I believe, is actually better than that, but they have some Division II wins and a nice win at BYU. And BYU is a snake pit. I'm not going to call BYU a top 25 team, but they're certainly capable of beating top 25 teams at home. It's not an easy place to win. Utah Valley going in there, getting the win, looking really good out of the gate. And how about the ruse of UMKC? We weren't expecting much out of them at all. Off to a 4-2 start.
Yeah.
I think UMKC is even more impressive to some extent because two of their three wins actually came in a round-robin event at Bowling Green. One of them was a win on the road against the Falcons, and I believe their other win was against Murray State, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I mean, we've got the great start by UMKC. Actually, our colleague John Titel picked them to win the finished second in the WAC, but win the automatic bid out of it behind the Lopes. New Mexico State, like I said, perennial power. Cal State Bakersfield, your defending champion there, at least in terms of the NCAA bid. And, of course, you also got Grand Canyon in there, who actually is off to a slightly disappointing start, if anything, here at 3-3 so far in the season, but is still should be right up there at the top of the standings as well. So we've got at least five teams from this league from what we've seen so far that I really believe could win this conference.
Yeah, they could. And, again, it's really early, but, I mean, they could. And I can't help but think the Lopes are going to turn it around. They might be looking ahead a little bit. But they're still, I think, ultimately, especially once league play starts, going to be one of the better teams in the league.
You should also get your highlighter out, Chad. Oh, I was going to have you go back for a moment because if you look at their overall conference rating out of 32, Warren Nolan currently has the WAC 6th out of 32.
Yeah, that's
very impressive.
Yeah, I'll get to that in a second. I just wanted to mention here, I pulled up Chicago State. This is our defending worst team in the country, unfortunately. They do have two wins. Neither one of them is a D1 win, but they do have two wins of the season. That may alone help them avoid a repeat of the Centenary Award for the worst team in the country.
One of them was against East-West University. Let's not.
I also want to focus in here on Utah Valley, who we mentioned at 3-1. Does have the huge win at BYU already. Their only loss was to Gonzaga. And Gonzaga, that's a unbelievably respectable loss here.
I know, yeah.
They are playing, as we record this, they're playing at Washington State. I think this is a winnable game they're playing tonight by the time we watch this podcast.
If they get that win, this will be their third true road win. And you can't ignore that. I mean, that's a great start for anybody.
And big trip coming up here, three in a row against the other Utah schools, Utah State, Weber State. They could win the mythical Utah conference, I guess we would call it. David, we'd have to create something.
Well, they're in first.
I think the Ochre Bucket is what they used to call it.
They don't play Southern Utah this year, but that's the only team that would be missing from that list. Just a great start actually by the WAC. If you look at some of these numbers here, Utah Valley by RPI currently ranked 18th. I know RPI is meaningless necessarily, but still a fairly impressive number there.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, let's go back to the beginning of the alphabetical order. We already talked about New Hampshire, but let's talk about the rest of the America East. UMBC, Maryland, Baltimore County, after a surprising 4-1 start against D1 competition. Vermont with a nice 5-2 start.
Yeah, UMBC, one of the biggest surprises, and I realize you have to be an under-the-radar guru to understand this. They might be one of the biggest surprises of the year, period. Winning at Duquesne tonight, and I know that, so what, it's Duquesne. This is a team that's typically won fewer than 5 games the last several years in a row. They're already at 5 wins as it is. Really, really uncharacteristic start. Now, who knows if they'll end up being a player once they get in the conference play, but the fact that they're winning games against anyone is impressive.
Yeah, and if you look ahead, their schedule here at Richmond will be a test. At Virginia Tech, but they could put together a pretty impressive record heading into January.
Yeah, they really can. I don't think they'll get any one of those. But still, I mean, for a team, and we said this about Fordham last year, albeit Fordham not in an under-the-radar conference. I mean, when you've been that bad, and I mean centenary level, sub-300 bad, to come out starting the way they have, that's really something. Good job for them getting it turned around.
And John, Vermont, another team I want to focus in on, picked up a nice home win over Yale, who had looked like a decent team at least the first week or two or so of the season. But Vermont, a very nice win there. Plus a great performance down the Gulf Coast Showcase where they lost on a buzzer beater to Houston or could have won that entire tournament.
That was kind of a tough one against Houston. I mean, it's not that Vermont was going to have really any shot whatsoever at getting an at-large, but it still does put the America East at a point where you can probably look at possibly a 14 or a 15 instead of hovering down near the bottom of the 15 or getting on the 16 line come November. Yes. And also watch out for this game at South Carolina. Will the Gamecocks be getting a little too cocky for their own good?
We're not sending Vermont a banner. It was like only the team of the people are getting a banner.
They didn't win their tournament.
Yeah, they didn't win their tournament the way.
Let's move on to the Atlantic Sun. Florida Gulf Coast, we discussed it last week, that game against Michigan State. Not much that we've seen out of this conference so far, though, this year, David.
Yeah, real disappointing showing right now, and it's just who has been the least bit disappointing, or who's been the least disappointing, not so much who's been the best. Jacksonville looking pretty good so far, though.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at KenPom numbers, Gulf Coast is actually the top 100 in KenPom. I normally think a KenPom number this time of the season is a lot more indicative of a team than something like an RPI or an overall record or anything like that.
Mathematically, the RPI ranks your opponents more than it ranks you until, I think, the 10th game. Right. So, in other words, if Jacksonville plays Virginia Tech, it's more important what Virginia Tech does than what Jacksonville does. So,
John, I'm going to turn over here to the Big Sky Conference and – still haven't seen anything noteworthy out of this conference, including, I believe, Idaho suffered a tough loss the other night as well.
Yep. I mean, about the one of the few positives you really can point to right now is Eastern Washington. We alluded to this a couple weeks ago. They actually won a 2-game on-campus event as part of, I think it was one of the events at Madison Square Garden. I think it was the 2K Classic undercard that they won.
Well, they won an on-campus event at Madison Square Garden. That is impressive.
It was not at Madison Square Garden. It was on campus.
How do you even logistically do that? That is, wow. My whole opinion of Eastern Washington has changed.
Yeah, David, the the loss I was referring to, Idaho, who we thought was a pretty good team, lost at home to San Jose State. San Jose State. John, you pointed this out, I believe, that this is back-to-back wins by San Jose State on the road against D1 opponents for the first time in about 30 years or something.
I think 4 years is what it actually came out to, because the other win at San Jose State had was actually at Washington State, and this is also where Utah Valley is playing tonight.
Okay. Let's move on then. David, the Big South is up next, and even though the record isn't that great, I've been most impressed by Winthrop of anybody in this conference so far.
For sure, and it's Winthrop and everybody else. I don't even think anybody else has looked as good. I mean, I know that they have the two losses, but one of them was at Florida State. They were in there for about 30 minutes of the game. You'll have to pull them up for me to remember the other one.
They beat Illinois, and their loss was to the team of the people.
Although they had
a lot of trouble with Furman tonight. They escaped with a 1-point win over a
right.
team that's
you
not
you can't really great. Fault them for losing to the team of the people. I mean, this
big test coming up, John, against Dayton coming up this weekend.
Yep, I mean Dayton, they're still going to be a little bit injured, but that's still going to be possibly a winnable game for Winthrop, but I just don't see them pulling that one out.
John, let me stick with you here for a second. We're going to move over to the Big West Conference, where David was huge on this Long Beach State team, and how impressed are you by them so far, John?
I guess Long Beach State is helping to take our focus off of Santa Barbara, which has kind of been another disappointment. And they're also 0-5 against D1 competition.
Santa Barbara is 0-5 against everybody, in fact. They have not played a non-D1 game. But
the only positive side of the Big West has been UC Davis's start.
UC Davis. And David, Hawaii got to a 3-3 start here as well. I actually have got them at 4-3 overall, 3-3 against D1. And there's a chance they still may not even be eligible for the postseason.
Yeah, I don't know. I know that they're appealing the decision. Essentially, they're appealing their own self-imposed ban that the NCAA accepted. That's not exactly what happened. But what is the – I don't know what the basis for the appeal is.
Well, the NCAA imposed the ban.
Yes.
The announcement came out last March or so, but it was a ban for this year for the postseason. Hawaii appealed it, said that the postseason penalty was – too strong of a penalty given what had happened, among other things. They actually sort of won the appeal. It was sent back for a rehearing and a new decision. So we're now waiting for basically a rehearing on the issue or a retrial with Hawaii. Okay.
We're going to keep an eye on Hawaii, and depending on how well they do, we may need to use our contacts at the NCAA to get this straightened out.
Okay. David, let me stick with you for a second. We'll move over to the Colonial, where we do have a team that we do really like so far this season.
Yeah, Wilmington, I'm still big on them. They did have the one loss that I was kind of surprised by. Went up to Western Michigan the night and for 36 minutes looked amazing and then looked like absolute dog crap for the last four, but it was enough to hold on the win. Still really like this Wilmington team. The question is, and you face this with Under the Radar, if you want to make the NCAA tournament, you either need to win the automatic bid or give the committee a reason to take you. Will they be able to do that? They have the loss to Middle Tennessee. Not a bad loss there, but you look at if they go into Clemson and win and then they drop two games in conference and then drop a conference tournament game, is that enough?
And I'm also impressed by their win against East Tennessee State, because that's the Buccaneers' only loss to date so far.
Yeah, good point. Nice. Yeah. That was a good game. Middle Tennessee loss is nothing to – hang your head on. The Middle Tennessee team is a pretty good team.
Yeah.
They could pick up that win at St. Bonaventure as well. The Bonnies are not a bad team by any means, and that would be a nice
win. They won there last year. So.
And they will have a chance for a major scalp in late December when they go to Clemson.
Yes, is that what you said already, David?
Yeah. let's not forget Pfeiffer College. Why?
John, over in Conference USA, we just mentioned this Middle Tennessee team, but you've actually got three teams with only one loss there, along with Rice and Marshall, ODU and Charlotte there with only two losses. I've actually been pretty impressed with what I've seen from some of these top teams so far in CUSA.
Yeah, Marshall also got a nice win earlier tonight against Ohio. And then we've also touched on Middle Tennessee's record, including their win against, was it Wilmington? Yep. I joked about Rice being one of the College World Series powers and had kind of lost track of them after their home loss to Texas Southern. But other than that, they've actually been pretty respectable this year.
Yeah, David, I want to pull up this Marshall team first here, actually. Yeah. That nice one tonight over Ohio. The only loss was to Ohio State, a team that last I saw was beating Virginia tonight. And they have won over North Carolina Central, and not everybody could do that.
Yeah. Well, Mizzou can't. But, yeah, Marshall's off to a good start. Another team that you don't want to ignore here, I think, is Old Dominion. I know that they lost in overtime to Louisville, and really they led for most of that game, and they kind of blew it. You don't want to say that they blew it because Louisville's as good as they are, but they really had a chance to win that game. The game that they really should have won that they didn't was that next game that they lost to LSU. But I mean, they are – literally seconds away from being from having just one loss and having a neutral floor win over Louisville.
Yeah, I really like what I've seen from them so far.
I was going to say, I'd give them credit for the St. John's win, but as we'll get to later, even Delaware State has been able to pull that one off.
Yeah.
One other team I did want to mention here, this Western Kentucky team, of all the teams, I think I've been most disappointed in this one here. They lost another game tonight. They lost at Eastern Kentucky. Very disappointing.
Well,
2-trip out to Vegas. I thought we'd have this team better this year.
You know, 10 more possessions, they would have been right in that game.
So disappointing year so far for them. UAB is dealing with a lot of injuries, but I think we've got several teams here that could definitely be in contention for this conference. David, the Horizon League, another conference with a huge win this week by Valpo.
Valpo, yeah, nice body of work. And again, I don't know how much better it's going to get. Now, if they win at Kentucky, then they'll really be on their way. But assuming they don't, their profile to date isn't bad. It's their only losses at Oregon. Oregon likely won't lose but one or two home games this year, if that. So nothing bad there. Wins against Alabama and BYU, who are NIT-ish probably, away from home. And then they had the home win against Rhodey. Now, is this enough? How many strikes do they have with what – and again, this is a very, very good Valpo team. I think they are every bit as good as a lot of teams that will get at large. The question is, will the paper be there if they need it, if they don't get that automatic bid? And how many strikes do they have between now and the end, Chad?
I do like them a lot here. And I think, you know, one thing that may – they've got this game December 17th against Indiana State. It's another home contest, an Indiana State team that I think we'll get to the Missouri Valley in a few moments here. But I think it's going to be a very competitive team after what we saw they did, despite going 0-3 in their tournament. I think that this team here, this Valpo team, I think – two losses, a third in the conference tournament, I think they can still make it in. And they may have a little bit more room than that with three nice scalps with Alabama, BYU, and Rhode Island already there.
One thing that was kind of surprising, though, for Valparaiso, this was actually the first time in 19 seasons where they had actually beaten a ranked team.
I was surprised about that. Like, they never beat Butler in those years. I guess they did.
Not while Butler was ranked, apparently. But they really did try to blow that game against Rhode Island, though. If you want to watch how not to play the last minute of a game, watch the end of that game. And yet somehow they were able to get lucky enough. Rhodey couldn't hit that big three at the end there, and they were able to pull it out.
And again, not an under-the-radar team. No shame in Rhodey losing that. This is a very good Valpo team.
All right, John, the Ivy League is up next, and we had hinted at the beginning of the season that maybe there's a shot for an at-large bid here. Are we done talking about that?
I mean, we're not going to be done talking about their conference tournament, but I think there was actually a decent shot that Columbia had of possibly getting over 500, but they had lost their last game in the closing seconds.
Yeah, nobody over 500, even if you include non-D1 games. I mean, Princeton is still 52 in the KenPom ratings, but they just haven't. That's more based on who they've played, though.
And they've just looked a lot. I mean, again, these are good teams. BYU, Lehigh. These aren't the easiest games in the world to win. And of course, VCU. They actually led a good portion of that game. I know VCU opened it up, but really, with 90 seconds to go, the game was not decided. So they look good against VCU, but they really didn't in any of their other games. The one that surprised me the most still was that opener against BYU. They just looked flat.
Now, if there was one team that was lucky in the Ivy League, that was earlier this week after we went off the air on Monday night for the Hoops HD report, that would be Brown in their home victory against Bryant. I'll let Chad give the details on this one.
John, go ahead. You can tell the story here.
Yeah, what happened was both Bryant and Brown were exchanging leads about, I think, three different occasions in the final 30 seconds. But after Brown got the lead on a go-ahead layup with about 3 seconds to go, Bryant inbounded the ball, but one of the Bryant players, thinking they were still ahead, actually threw the ball up in the air at midcourt in what appeared to be celebration. But even his teammates looked pretty baffled at the end. It's like, what are you doing?
It was. I mean, it's just kind of, you know, upsetting, I guess, for them too. But it was pretty funny. He actually holds his hands up in celebration of a victory after throwing the ball up in the air to let the clock run out. I love the move of throwing the ball up in the air to let the clock run out. But you got to be up by when you do that.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's fair to fault an entire strategy because of one slight oversight, Jeff.
Okay. David, let me stick with you for the Metro Atlantic here. Fairfield off to the best overall record, but if you talk in terms of RPI and the power number ratings, you've got Monmouth, you've got Siena, and you've got Iona coming up with the Great Alaska Championship.
Yeah, and we said it when it happened. Looking at how good South Carolina is, how much does that change the complexion of Iona's profile and season had they managed to hold on and win that game?
You mean Monmouth? You know,
yeah, Monmouth.
Okay.
And, you know, the loss to Syracuse, that's certainly not damaging. South Carolina isn't a damaging loss, but the problem is, again, you need something. You need something that the committee can look at and say, okay, that's a quality win. We're going to take that team. And they're kind of almost out of chances other than – North Carolina is probably way out of reach.
If they win that
Memphis game and then they, you know, drop just – can they still get in at large or did they – I think they really, really needed that South Carolina game.
I honestly don't think they have a shot at an at-large this year, but they do at least have a shot to correct one of the wrongs that they had last year, and that was losing against Canisius in their – opening weekend of Metro Atlantic play.
Right.
Yes, and we're going to get this in a minute here, but they actually will be at Quinnipiac tomorrow night as one of the first two conference games of the 2016-17 season. The Metro Atlantic still playing this 20-game regular season that I am not a fan of. As a result of that, they play two games in December.
If they win at North Carolina, then we got to start looking at them as a
large. Yeah, so it's going to take that at this point. Let's talk about some MEAC hoops here, where we had two of the biggest upsets of this past week coming out of this conference. NC Central going and winning at Missouri. Delaware State following that up with a win at St. John's. How excited, David, are you about MEAC hoops this season?
Well, more so than normal. that was just a pitiful showing by St. John's. I mean, not to take anything away from Delaware State, but good grief. First win of the year. But NC Central winning it, I mean, again, this is one of the teams that we liked to as a conference front runner, and Missouri is in the running for one of the worst power teams ever. That's not too surprising. I think we were all kind of expecting that, weren't we?
But I think as a Big East fan, that is definitely going to be the facepalm moment of the year with Delaware State.
Yeah.
Winning decisively at St. John's.
Yeah, I mean, they kind of opened it up there.
Well, again, this is a conference that we really don't know too much about who's going to win it until we get into conference play because so many of them just play all these bye games. And a team like South Carolina State sitting here at 0-5 against D1 competition, but still I think is going to be my choice to win this conference at the end of the day.
Yeah, I still like them too. So again, this is just more padding the pocketbook than it is about really being competitive at this point.
Although South Carolina State did sneak in one non-D1 win against, I think it was Voorhees tonight, if I read that correctly.
They are 2-5 overall, if we include non-D1. But John, over the Mid-American Conference, you mentioned that Marshall knocked off Ohio U tonight, giving them their first loss of the season. Akron sitting there 5-1 as well against D1. I'm still very high on both these teams despite the loss. Are you still there with me on those?
I'm still high on both Akron and Ohio, and also thought Buffalo looked pretty decent for a half against Creighton, but they didn't have nearly enough weapons in their arsenal to knock out the Blue Jays in Omaha.
Yeah, I don't know about them. They weren't even competitive against Xavier. They lost to Nevada, who not that high on. I'm not sold yet on Buffalo by any means. Only beat Alaska Anchorage by 6.
Yeah.
David, how about anybody else in the West Division here? Eastern Michigan, very disappointing with a weak schedule, 3-3 so far.
Yeah, now I think they have won their last three, so maybe they've gotten it turned around a little bit. But it's much heavier in the East with Akron and Ohio in particular.
They've won their last three, but one was against Madonna. Another one was against Omaha. The third was against Detroit. So.
Is that the school or the singer?
Both. But okay. They do have a very winnable game coming up Sunday against Siena Heights. So we'll see how that one goes. Right. Yeah, that Eastern Michigan schedule, I think, is absolutely atrocious.
It is. And you just can't. Well, anyway.
John, let's go over to the Missouri Valley Conference here. And a little score update. John, this may change our top 10 lists that we have coming up. Northern Iowa loses at home tonight to George Mason.
That is definitely going to change my list because I was thinking pretty highly of Northern Iowa, but that's going to change in a big way. I mean, that's going to negate part of their resume that they built down in Orlando with wins against Arizona State and Oklahoma.
Shocked that they would lose that at home. And you just, if you're watching that game, you just kept waiting for you and I to open it up, and they never did. And when it was over, they lost. Just real disappointing.
Yeah, I do still kind of like this Illinois State team. It's a team we spoke about a little bit at the beginning of the season. We kind of stopped talking about them after they lost Murray State and TCU. They did pick up a win against IUPUI. Look at these next two games with New Mexico coming to town and then at Tulsa. This could be the chance for Illinois State to make a little bit of noise here.
Yeah, and they kind of need to win both of them. Neither of those teams are really that good.
They do play in the Diamond Head Classic, so they'll get a couple more games besides what you see on the screen there. Another team off to a pretty good start here, David, is Missouri State.
Yeah, record-wise, and they had a really kind of a surprising win against North Dakota State. I mean, granted, they were at home. I really like this North Dakota State team. I wasn't really big at all on Missouri State. I was kind of surprised to see him get that win. But again, you know, Alabama A&M is one of their wins. How much do we really?
How about Fontibon, or whoever that is? And they did lose to DePaul. That's sometimes.
I'd like to point out
that was also another last second.
More competitive than Alabama A&M.
Right. Let's move over to the Northeast Conference.
Drake fans, thank you for that, Chad.
John, we're talking Northeast going into the season. Let's start with Wagner. Two wins, one of them over UConn, four losses for our UConn friends out there, including Ryder, Maskell, Fairfield.
Okay, so Wagner is going to be 1-1 in the old Yankee Conference if you count UConn and UMass. But I noticed Chad was skipping past Sacred Heart for some reason tonight.
Actually, we do want to congratulate UConn. I think they pulled out a 2-point win over somebody tonight.
Boston U,
yeah. Good job, UConn. We did pass over Sacred Heart, but actually, let's take a look at this Long Island.
The Blackbirds? Wow, I mean...
This is very impressive. They've road wins against Mass Lowell and Hartford, wins away from home against Northeastern and Maine.
Northeastern, granted, it wasn't on campus, but it was in Boston. Like, to go there and get that one, because I still like this Northeastern team a little bit. And, again, they've done all this away from home.
They're already 3-0 against the America East. The only problem is they're in the NEC.
A big test coming up on December 6th here next Tuesday at North Carolina Central. Could be a battle of two under-the-radar conference leaders, potential under-the-radar game of the day there even.
Yeah.
I'm serious about that.
Yeah, I know.
David, let me stick with you a second here as we go over to the Ohio Valley Conference where Tennessee State, you said on Monday night that they were going to be easily able to beat Vanderbilt.
I don't recall saying that. I never said that.
Okay.
We're not going to delete. There's no reason in watching the podcast from Monday to see if I said that. Just don't worry about it.
Okay.
See you next. They did not easily beat Vanderbilt. They just got destroyed, and it was just, oh my God. Is perhaps Vanderbilt turning sort of a corner here under Bryce Drew, or did Tennessee State just not show up, or did we overvalue, we meaning me, Tennessee State a little bit?
I was with you on the Tennessee State bandwagon because I was impressed by the fact that they went 3-0 on that trip to Santa Clara, even though it wasn't against the best of competition. Although UC Davis 4-3,
They also won at Middle Tennessee.
Yeah, they won at Middle Tennessee, who by all accounts seems to be much better than Vanderbilt. Well,
they will have a couple more chances. I'm not going to talk about the game at Duke, but maybe the game at NC State. Before we get into conference play and. Over in the West Division, I'll go straight to them here. Tennessee Martin was the other team I wanted to focus in on, off to a very nice start as well.
Yeah, and in the second time in, I think, 2 or 3 years, off to a real good start after going through a couple years where they only won one or two games. So their program's really turned around. And they're only their losses at Ole Miss, who they really were competitive against in that first game, and then no shame losing at Kentucky. So real good start for Martin.
Yeah, look at things coming up ahead here. Nice contest here against the Illinois State team we were just discussing, in fact, coming up on December 10th.
Yeah, and then Arkansas State, a team I still really like.
And we're going to get right to
that. Even UMKC is looking like a bigger game for them.
Yeah.
All right, John, let me turn to you as we move over to the Patriot League. Bucknell had a nice win tonight. They came up with a victory here.
Richmond
at home. A game that kind of surprised me. I thought this Richmond team was a little bit better than this. I didn't know that this Bucknell team was this good.
Yeah, Bucknell. Oh, sorry, you're going to John. They led the
league. I was going to say, they had a bigger name opponent in there in Sweka Pavilion last year when they were playing Wake Forest. But they also, that's one of their two losses this year, which was the return game. And then they also had a loss at Butler. But then again, who hasn't lost to the Bulldogs this year?
Well, and there's Vanderbilt again, David, who this team actually beats. So that could be a
– So I know we're past Tennessee State. Really surprised last night when I was watching them.
Okay. Wow. So let's move on. Let's take another quick look back at the standings here. Besides the Bucknell team, Dave, is there anybody else that's really stood out for you of anything here in the Patriot League?
No, not really at all. Lehigh, I still think that they've looked good in a lot of close losses. And once they get in the conference play, you kind of have to watch out for them. They are really good. But, I mean, Bucknell seems to be opening it up a little bit.
Now, Lehigh does have a win at Mississippi State on their profile.
Yeah. And they
a lot of teams have wins at Mississippi State on their profile this year, John. Yeah.
Not Patriot League teams.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and go over to the Southern Conference. And, David, let me start with you here. I predicted going into the season that we had a two-team battle. I really like Chattanooga here, but I had East Tennessee State right behind him, and I think that's what we're seeing so far.
Yeah, so far. And, again, Chattanooga, I'm going to say that they're out of strikes. They only have two losses. One was at North Carolina. I won't say that they're out of strikes, but they don't have many more. But if you look at their schedule, including a game at Vanderbilt.
Vanderbilt plays everybody.
They really should win all of these games. They should be favored to win. I mean, I know they've got a really good Marshall team coming up, but they have them at home. This is really a schedule that they should run over because of all the games that they have remaining. How many of them are even NIT caliber teams, much less at large NCAA tournament teams? If this Chattanooga team is as good as we think they are, they should win all the rest of them or all but one or two.
Right. And John, in terms of East Tennessee State, whose schedule should be coming up here any second.
There we did allude to them earlier in the show.
Yeah,
Stop it! Gosh! I mean, we say this all the time. I'll say it again. When you're an under-the-radar team and you know you're going to be good, don't schedule Division II teams.
Well, at least what I can give them here is beyond that, at Dayton, at Mississippi State, a home game against Tennessee, they're going to have their shots here.
If home at Tennessee is even noteworthy. But
And we're talking about, it's about about half an hour ride from Knoxville to Johnson City as well.
And even Detroit is a centenary candidate in the
We're seeing this from Eastern Michigan and all these teams that really need to give themselves chances. You're not giving yourself any sort of a chance when you play a non-Div 1 team.
But still, I think there's enough names coming up on this schedule. Yeah. There's no shame in that loss to Wilmington from what we discussed earlier.
Yeah.
I think South Dakota State win may be a decent win at the end of the day, although not a good start so far for South Dakota State by any means. They also beat Fordham. That's an Atlantic 10 team.
Well, Sacred Heart also beat Fordham. So,
Silence.
Yeah.
So over the Southland, for those who do not have faith in Fordham's chances to make the NCAA tournament, John Stalica. John, we have an undefeated team here in the Southland. 5-0 overall, 3-0 against D1, the Texas A&M Corpus Christi Islanders.
Yep, and Corpus Christi had also pulled off another win a couple nights ago, I think, after we were talking about them in our For Real or For Frauds.
For Frauds.
Yeah, they pulled off a win over Rio Grande Valley. They have now swept them. 2-2 over Rio Grande, 1 over Texas State. They haven't left the state of Texas, David, have they?
It doesn't look that way. No, maybe they just don't have the budget for it.
Actually, the first road trip coming up to Cal Poly this weekend. They're finally getting out of the state.
Yeah.
Beyond them, David, what do you like in the Southland?
I know they got absolutely blasted tonight at Baylor, but I still like Sam Houston to win the league. I think that they're – and remember, getting blasted by Baylor is what Southland frontrunners do. SFA lost by 40 early in the season at Baylor a year ago. So, Stephen F. Austin for those.
Okay. Over in the Sun Belt, David, I know you want to talk some Arkansas State, so let's go right there.
Yeah, like what I've seen out of them, South Alabama out to a bloated record as well, but Arkansas State doing it against much better competition. We're going to pull up both of these, I'm assuming. But yeah,
let's start with Arkansas State here. 6-1, they did lose that game to North Dakota State, but
yeah.
Wins over Georgetown on the road, Chattanooga, win over Lehigh, and a big test coming up this weekend at TCU.
Yeah, it is, and who would have thought, but this TCU team 7-0 really beat down Washington earlier today. This TCU team's looking, a lot better than we thought they would. That is a real test.
And, John, this other team that we just mentioned here, South Alabama, this is a team that I liked heading into the season as a second or third place finisher potentially in this conference, out to a very nice start here, including a win tonight at Southern Miss, the one at UNLV, which is not easy to do when you're in the Sun Belt. Another team with a big test coming up this weekend also, with Middle Tennessee coming in.
I think even if you ask a team like Alabama last year, sometimes winning at Southern Miss can be a little bit difficult. But I guess they also won what was a round-robin event called the Red Diamond Round Ball Classic, also played in Mobile.
Yeah, that was a event that they hosted there. But I just want to jump back to Middle Tennessee because we've mentioned them a lot this podcast.
I love this.
Yeah. And I want to bring this up here to actually point to the schedule here. David, you were complaining about schedules. All these teams we've been mentioning, we keep mentioning that they're playing Middle Tennessee. This is what you do.
This is what you
do. Exactly what you do.
Yes. I love this. They went out. They beat Southern Miss by 15. Southern Miss had to come back. They were losing by, I think, 30 at one point. I mean, real nice win there. But, yeah, thank you for pointing that out.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out this Middle Tennessee schedule, though, because if you look at everybody on Middle Tennessee's schedule, it's not big names. They're not playing all these bye games at Duke, but they are going to have a very nice strength of schedule at the end of the day because they are playing all these teams that are going to be
right
the teams that are at the top of their conferences.
Right, yeah.
One other team we've got to mention as we turn back to the Sun Belt, Texas Arlington lost in overtime last year, got the win this time around, David, at Texas.
Yeah, real nice feel-good win for them. You know, a team that got off to a real good start last year. And this is a team that hadn't looked all that good. I did watch the Arkansas game and was fairly impressed with that, despite the loss. But they were really – I mean, they ended up winning by 11, and that score makes it look like the game was more close than it actually was. I think they were up by 15-16 by late in the second half. A real good win for Arlington. Hopefully they can turn it into something.
Yeah, John, how big are you circling this game at St. Mary's coming up on December 8th for them?
Well, I'm certainly going to be circling this one as opposed to the St. Mary's Texas that we saw a moment ago for, I think, one of the Southland teams.
Yeah, none,
if we go back to the Sun Belt page, I also want to highlight Georgia State because they had a very notable game at home against Wright State tonight, which was, as Chad alluded to in the email thread, this was part of a charitable cause called Samaritan's Feet. We usually see this highlighted around mid-January that Ron Hunter's doing for about a decade now, where he'll coach barefoot for a game because this is meant to be a cause to provide shoes for people throughout the world. They moved that game up this year because Scott Nagy from Wright State also wanted to participate this year.
Yeah.
And I just want to throw in there, I'm doing this podcast without shoes because of this tonight as well. So,
well, I never wear shoes.
Thanks for bringing that up, John. A real good cause there. And good to see both coaches participating. Although, I don't know necessarily that anybody really wants to see their bare feet. But David, let's go over to the SWAC.
We don't want anything to happen to Ron Hunter in bare feet either.
Yeah.
As long as he doesn't sit down on a chair and fall off. David, Texas Southern, we highlighted them last week. We want to talk about them again. They did lose a tough one at Louisiana Lafayette. Sylvan picked up that fifth road win.
Having a little trouble in Arizona right now. Yeah, still really like this team. Speaking of, there are teams that like to stay at home and eat cupcakes, and then there's whatever Texas Southern does every year. That is not coming home until January 4th. Good God. Not a single home game until January 14th.
That's no ice cream in your fridge.
Yeah, that's what you do when you're in the SWAC, and that's, you find that for a lot of these SWAC teams. A lot of them only have one or no home non-conference games.
Yeah.
Grambling actually missed out on possibly getting a third D1 win this year, but blew a 13-point lead at Miami, Ohio tonight with about 5 minutes to play.
Actually, that's a good point.
Work for Grambling. I mean, really, 2-5 when you're on the receiving end of bye games and you've been as bad as Grambling's been recently, really good showing for them so far.
David, they picked up that Rio Grande Valley game in the Emerald Coast Classic. That was another game they lost. I believe that was overtime as well.
Yeah.
They have been right there with a lot of these teams, not with Providence or Virginia, but with teams with the under-the-radar teams. And I mean, we could be looking at a team that finishes in the middle of the pack of the SWAC this year as opposed to down on the bottom where they always are.
Right, yeah. And it's good to see them get it going a little bit. I mean, this program was so putrid. It's good to see a little bit of a resurgence. They've put some more resources into it, albeit not much. But it is, when you are that bad, it is hard to get it turned around. And they're doing it. They really are.
Yeah, so congratulations to them. We'll be following them closely the rest of the season here as well, among the other teams we're following. Summit League is the last league we're going to have here to discuss before we go into some previews of upcoming games. And, of course, we discussed last week the Fort Wayne win over Indiana. But, David, anything else you've seen out of this conference besides that win?
A little bit surprising that North Dakota State is only 3-3. And I know that they lost to Xavier last night. You weren't expecting them to win, but they got blasted. I thought that they would at least stay with them for a little bit. They did not. So this league typically hovers around the 12-13 line. I suppose if IPFW runs away from the conference, they'll end up there. But it's a little bit down this year from what we're used to seeing. South Dakota State, not as good as they normally are. North Dakota State, perhaps not as good as they normally are either. And that loss to Missouri State was really surprising.
And on the other hand, that win against Arkansas State is starting to look bigger and bigger as the season goes.
And that's a good point, John, yeah.
All right. On that note, I'm going to go ahead and pull down the screen share here. We'll put us back up on the screen. And what I'd like to do is just run through some of the upcoming games for the next week. I will and just ask your thoughts about some of them. Beginning tomorrow night, we mentioned this, John, the start of conference play, Monmouth at Quinnipiac and Fairfield at Ryder. Are you excited about seeing conference play beginning on December 1st?
Well, I'd be excited about any particular basketball game, although for the Metro Atlantic, I think I would be excited this year.
Yeah. But, David, coming up Friday night, that Delaware State team fresh off of their win over St. John's, a big in-state rivalry. They're at Delaware.
Yeah. It's an in-state – it is a rivalry of sorts, but it is – a huge mismatch. I think Delaware wins out.
Delaware is not that good either. It could actually be a good game. Yeah. So, not that either one is that good of a team. Right. Let's start to Saturday when we do have some really good games coming up. And I'm going to start here, David. We are supporting the team of the people, the New Hampshire Wildcats. They are the
We're sending them a banner.
However, their in-state rival. This might be the one time we're supporting them all season as well. Dartmouth is going to be at Boston College.
Yeah. Oh, they should win that. I mean, everybody wins at Boston College. It's just what you do.
And, John, we already mentioned that Winthrop at Dayton game coming up. A few others coming up. Texas Arlington on the road at North Texas. And another Texas team, Texas Southern at Southern Illinois. Is this the chance for Texas Southern to get that? We would be the fifth road win here.
Well, they blew a chance to get that. I think it was Louisiana Lafayette, but this one at Southern Illinois, if that's what you said, that should be a winnable one for them.
Right. The team of the people will be hosting Holy Cross. We mentioned that earlier. David, this is a game that I'm actually am really looking forward to. Akron's at Creighton on Saturday.
Akron off to a really good start, just one loss. Creighton, of course, off to a fantastic start, ranked really high. I mean, it is a little bit of a mismatch, but it'll be really interesting to see what Akron can do in that environment. And again, we say they have to give the committee reasons to take them. If they were to pull this off, suddenly it changes the complexion of their whole profile and maybe their season.
We mentioned during the Hoops HD report on Monday, this big game coming up, Louisville's at Grand Canyon, last year's Team of the People. That's the other big one coming up on Saturday. Going into next week, actually, a couple of other big games I do want to mention as we head actually to Tuesday of next week. There is a two-day doubleheader, two games each day at Pearl Harbor next week, including Cal versus Princeton and Hawaii versus Seton Hall on the first day on Tuesday, and then Hawaii and Princeton again on Wednesday. David, any chance that Princeton can get back into the picture here by winning both those games?
Yeah, I mean, if they win both those games, it really turns their season around.
A couple other games here coming up on Tuesday night. John, Old Dominion's at Rhode Island, another really interesting game.
I was just going to get back to the last point. Don't expect John T. to be supporting Princeton.
but what do you think about the Old Dominion at Rhode Island game?
I think Rhode Island's probably going to bounce back in that one.
Okay. I like this Old Dominion team, so I'm looking forward to that one. I'm looking forward to Monmouth at Wagner coming up there. Although I think that Wagner's not that good, I think
right, I know.
That bad. But the second game of the Battle of the Boulevard, where Belmont made a huge comeback to pull off the first win over Lipscomb. Lipscomb now at home, and I believe we're now at 9 straight wins, which is a record in this series by Belmont. So we can finally get one.
I kind of think Lipscomb needed that one because it might be a while before they get another chance.
Yeah. Also, New Hampshire will be at American that night, NJIT at Minnesota, Utah Valley at Utah, just a few of those other games that are coming up next week.
Love the Wildcats.
Let's turn to our top 10 lists. And what I'm going to do is run off my top three here, let you both tell me what your responses to them are, and then we'll go down the list from there. My top three that were Wichita State 1, Wilmington 2, Valpo 3.
Yeah, I had Valpo all the way up at number one. I still think it's just Wichita probably is the best team out of that group. They'll probably still end up having the biggest season. But with Valpo getting the wins against Bama, BYU, and then the other night against Rhodey, I just think that they've done the most. And how about Middle Tennessee? I mean, they looked so good their last couple games.
Middle Tennessee?
Yes.
I don't even have my top 10 list, but I think I might have made a mistake leaving them off. But
I could have made a case for Northern Iowa, but they pretty much DQ'd themselves after losing to George Mason tonight.
Yeah, but I really like this Wilmington team as well. Like, I've been high on them for a while.
Yeah, continuing down the list, I have Akron and Ohio along with Marshall, who was very impressed with their win tonight in my next grouping.
Yeah, getting the win at home. Let's see. I agree with that. Like, I was kind of more disappointed in Ohio than I was impressed with Marshall. Not that it's easy to go there and win, but I figured that if Ohio was as good as I thought they were, and they still may be, that's the kind of game that they needed to win.
Yeah, and John, my next grouping, I do like this Old Dominion team, Arkansas State, who we mentioned, and Fort Wayne. I don't think you can leave them off with that win over Indiana.
Yeah, I agree on Arkansas State and Fort Wayne. Although, have you mentioned Chattanooga yet?
No, I haven't. Go ahead. You want to make their case?
Well, I think just from an overall eye test point of view, I would put Chattanooga there. Although, even I've gone back and forth. Do I put Chattanooga or East Tennessee State ahead as far as SoCon teams go?
Right, we got the East Tennessee State team. David, I think you had a couple other teams on your list.
Yeah, and let me get my list up here.
Okay. I remember seeing, I believe you had Utah Valley on your list.
Yeah, I did. They were kind of at the bottom of it. I think I had them at 9 or 10, but they were on there. Wilmington all the way up at 2. Oh, wait, that's you.
Yeah. We've got another team that I think needs to be considered for this list is Texas Arlington. They did not make my list, but I had them right just barely missing.
I had Monmouth still on the list. Because again, let me just ask you this: had Monmouth held on to beat South Carolina, whom they lost to in overtime on a last second shot / tip in or some combination of both, where would they be on your list?
Oh, they'd be in my top five probably.
Yeah. So
The only other team I have at number 10, I have TCU. They're definitely under the radar school.
Yes.
Undefeated. I mean, they should be there, right?
Right.
I should also add, if you were thinking of ranking Utah Valley any higher, they are getting sandblasted at the half against Washington State.
Well, that's why.
Oh, well, that's only halftime. Come on. Yeah. I guess on that note, I want to turn to each of you for any final thoughts, and then I'll throw mine. And John, let me start with you.
I hope I'm not stealing some of Chad's thunder, but after this year, we're going to have four teams transitioning up to full-time Division I membership. But one team that's now waiting in the wings, expected to join for 2018-2019 season, is going to be the North Alabama Lions, who are going to be moving up from the Gulf South Conference, I think, in Division II. They're going to be joining the Big South for football and probably going to join the Atlantic Sun for their other sports.
Yeah, that's actually definitely joining the Atlantic Sun. That you have to now have a conference invite in order to transition up. My understanding is that the Atlantic Sun has given them an offer, and they have a deal in football with the Big South that any A-Sun teams, because the A-Sun doesn't sponsor football, can be in the Big South for football. So,
but I think they were also considering the Ohio Valley at one point as another contender.
Yeah, they were.
That was why it took so long for them to move off. They've been talking about it for years because they wanted to be in the OVC. The OVC didn't want them.
Right.
But the Big South also needed a member for their conference after, I think, Coastal Carolina decided to move up to the Sun Belt and FBS.
Right. David, any other thoughts?
It's beautiful. It's our first trophy. It's the first kind of hardware that a team of the people has ever won. Isn't it nice? It's just beautiful.
I don't think I could say any more than that. Go dancing or die. The pre-2016 preseason NIT champions. Congratulations to the New Hampshire Wildcats. Your banner is in the mail.
It's on its way. Our gift to you.
Give us a call when you get it in. We can make arrangements to... We do still have our program out there, David, where we will actually come up to your school.
Yes, yes,
we will. And broadcast live on tape delay.
Yes.
Only $200,000 from the athletic department's a very reasonable rate. So UNH, give us a call if you're interested. Shoot me an email. On that note, on behalf of John Stalica, David Griggs, I want to thank everybody for joining us. Have a great night, everybody. We'll talk to you real soon.